You know, this is a great day. And, but you know what? There are too many people that are fearful. And the fact remains, this is a serious situation. But there's no use to be fearful. We're having to deal with this thing, just like everybody else is. But people are dealing with unemployment and, you know, short on cash. And our world has been shaken like we've never known it before. Now, of course, any of you that are old enough to remember the 40s during the World War, which I am, it's not unusual to have a shortage in the grocery store. In fact, back then, if you didn't have a coupon, you couldn't buy anything. Even if they had it, many times they didn't have it. So I see old Zimmerman sitting here on the front row shaking his head. But we've gone through these things before. And if you'll keep your trust in God, then it's the day the Lord hath made. In the midst of all of this, you got people that are trying to blame God for this. You got some people that are trying to say it's judgment. It's not any of that. Okay? So, I'll tell you, Paul tells us exactly where it's coming from. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And then I like to read it from the NLT. Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, and they're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ. You know, then we go right over to John 10:10, and Jesus is talking, and he said, the thief. Well, he's talking about Satan. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But then that's not the end. Amen. He goes on to say, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Here in these scriptures, it tells us exactly who is the author of the trouble and the destruction and the decay and the corruption and everything else that's bad that's happening in the world today. Satan's behind sickness. Satan is behind disease and starvation. Satan is behind all of this chaos and epidemics and famines and killings. It's Satan. God is not doing these things. God is waiting for people to ask for his help. Satan comes in and, you know, like one person would say, like a bull in a china closet. I don't know whether y'all understand that or not, but you put a bull in a confined space and they begin to tear things up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But God waits to be asked. He is waiting for people to ask him to help them in their situation. You got to cooperate with God if you're going to get his help. You know, how do you cooperate with God? By simply believing what his Bible says and asking him to perform it in your life. It's that simple. God has not left us alone or defenseless. All of this that we have today, this day that the Lord has made, it is the day the Lord's made. It all goes back to Jesus at Calvary on the cross. And I want us to go to 1 Peter 2 because here it talks about a cornerstone, and Jesus became that cornerstone. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. You know, I like the way the NLT says that. Excuse me just a moment. It says, yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. But those who rejected him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Now, actually, Peter is quoting from Psalms 118, 22, in which the psalmist says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Here, Peter is saying that what Christ did on Calvary, he became the cornerstone. Now, you need to understand, they don't say so much about this in this day and age, but in days gone by, and if you'll go to some of the older towns that have a courthouse or a bank building, there will be a stone in the corner of the building, many times engraved with the date that the building was built. And from that stone, everything else was laid out. It was called the cornerstone or the foundation stone. Anybody ever seen those on some of those older buildings? Now, the Jews of that day rejected Jesus as the Messiah because he didn't appear to look like what they were expecting. And as they rejected him, then Jesus was beaten and hung on a cross and died one of the cruelest deaths that's known to mankind, if you study history. But the story, it would have been a sad day if the story had ended there, but it didn't end there. You see, he did go to the cross. He did die, but he arose again. And he became the cornerstone for the church. Now, I'm not talking about individual church buildings. I'm talking about the church. Those that are born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You would say it's our foundation. It's our foundation stone. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the pillar upon which our faith rests. He is the anchor in the time of storm. I don't know whether any of you ever been out on a boat, you know, and a storm comes up and you got that anchor down. That boat may toss around, but it holds steady. That's what an anchor's for, to hold you steady. You may bounce around. You may get kicked around a little bit, but if you'll stay hooked to the anchor, you'll be all right. You know, there's an old song that says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand, and I'm sure most of you have sung that song. Today we find ourselves in some situations that we've never faced before. And they're real. We can't minimize them. Some people are trying to minimize stuff. They think if they don't recognize it, it don't exist. Well, that's not true, and that's not what the word says, and that's not faith. Some people think that's faith. That's not faith, you know. But I tell you what, we're standing on the solid rock. The rock, Lord Jesus Christ. We need to rejoice because this is the day that he made. Because of this day, he brought us a new life. So let's go back there and read that Psalms 118, 22 through 24. We referred to it a while ago. Let's go read it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's wonderful to see. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will. That is a very positive statement. We will. That means you make yourself do it whether you want to or not. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, this word day in the Hebrew is both referring to a 24-hour day and also a time period or an age in which something is in effect. The scripture here is talking prophetically about two things. He's talking about the day and time when Jesus hung on the cross and ushered in a new day or a new age. But he's also talking about the age or the time period in which we as the people of God are living now. And it all goes back to what Jesus did when he hung on that cross over 2,000 years ago. Today we're living in the after effects of what happened on the cross. All of us are living in the after effects, if we're flying and all other things, of what happened on 9/11. It changed everything. Travel, all kinds of things. We're living in the after effects of it. I mean, if there's an earthquake, they will have what they call aftershocks. They're still living in the effect of the original earthquake. How many understand what I'm saying? So today we're living in the after effects of what happened on the cross. We're living in the day that Christ made for us on that cross. We're living with new spiritual realities. We're living in the new day. I want you to get a hold of the fact what Christ did on that cross has affected the world then and is still affecting the world today. I mentioned 9/11 a while ago. It affected us on that day, and it's still affecting us on this day. Am I correct or not? See, because of what Jesus did on that cross, the effects of it is that we have a new life. We have a new day. We have new possibilities. We have the promises of God that have been made available to us. You know, we have something to be glad about. We have something to rejoice about. Somebody said, well, I don't have nothing to rejoice. Hey, wait a minute. Jesus gave us a reason to rejoice. He gave us a reason to be glad when he died on that cross. You have a reason to rejoice. You're here, aren't you? You're not in a hospital somewhere. Hello. God has provided for you in a way that people don't understand over the years, right? You have something to rejoice about. This is your day. Every day is your day. We need to get a hold of that. This is the day the Lord has made. Every day. Every day is the day the Lord has made. And my foundation rests upon that day that he made when he died on that cross and he rose again from the dead. That's our foundation. That's what keeps us going. You know, let's look at this scripture again here. This is the Lord's doing. It is wonderful to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We have a reason to rejoice. He is saying what Christ did on Calvary is a wonderful day. And some people say, oh, it's great to look back to that day. Isn't it great to look back and see the day that Christ died, the day that he arose from the dead? Yeah, that's great. But that was yesteryear. This is today, and it's still the same day that he made back then. So get out of the past and live in the effects of what happened in the past. Do you understand what I'm saying? What happened in the past? He died on a cross to make a day for us. This is that day, and the effects of everything that happened that day is in our lives today if we allow it. You know, he said we would rejoice, or we will rejoice and be glad in it. The psalmist was speaking prophetically here about that day that Jesus died. But he's also speaking prophetically about the days that would follow that day. And actually, it became an age. See, there's a 24-hour day, and then there is the day that is recognized as an age or a time period. I'm giving you a little bit of a theology lesson there. We studied that in Ages and Dispensations when I was in school. But this is the day and the age in which Christ established over 2,000 years ago on that hill called Golgotha, suspended between heaven and earth, and making a bridge whereby mankind can pass from the degradation of sin, sickness, disease, and everything else to the glories of God. Hey, that's something to rejoice about. That's something to be glad about. He is our foundation, our cornerstone. You know, I like to look at the Apostle Paul when I start thinking about trouble and situations. Man, if anybody had a right to sing "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen," it was the Apostle Paul. Now look at this. In 2 Corinthians 11:23-28, he said, "I've worked harder, been in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again." Whoa. "Five times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 time I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I traveled on many long journeys. I faced dangers from rivers and robbers. I faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles. I faced danger in the city, in the desert, on the sea. I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry, I've been thirsty, and I've often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothes to keep him warm or to keep me warm," he says. "Then besides all that, I have the burden and the concern of all the churches." Now, if anybody could have focused on trouble and situations, I think it was the Apostle Paul. Hello. He could have gotten gloomy and negative, because he faced a lot of stuff. Look at that. It said he was beaten 3 times with 39 lashes. That's what Jesus took once. He was beaten with rods. And he faced all those difficulties time and time again. But did any of his writings ever reflect a negative tone or a poor old me attitude? No. He always talked about victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Always. Not sometimes, not part of the time. Always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now what Paul is talking about here, back in the day and age in which he was living, if a kingdom went and captured another kingdom, they would have a triumphant march through the city. Sort of like people do today whenever their team wins the championship. They have a big parade and so forth and so on. And if you were alive and were able to remember when our soldiers came home from World War II, there was the biggest parade in New York City you ever seen in your life. Why? That's what he told. Now thanks to God, always leads us in triumph. Triumph in Christ. That's why it's so important to understand the in Christ realities, the in him realities. In him, everything is through Christ. This day that we're living in, the day that we are establishing ourselves on the foundation, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is that day. And then I like what Paul says in 8:37 of Romans. Yet in all these things we might conquer. Oh, I'm glad somebody knows it. Yet in all these things, we are more, not just conquerors, more than conquerors through him who loved us. I like the NLT says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Not just victory, overwhelming. You know, when I was playing sports, I never let up. Oh, we're ahead. We can let up. No, never let up. Keep the pedal to the metal. You let up, the other team will get the momentum and they'll come back and beat you. Now, many people out here know that I played in the intramural leagues here around Raymond. They know when I'm on that field, or on that basketball court or that softball field, you getting 110% out of me. I'm not backing down. I don't care if we're ahead 90 points. I still ain't backing down. Score another. Score again. Come on. See, that's what we've got to realize. We've got to keep scoring with Jesus. We got to keep knocking the devil down and keep going, because this is his day that he has given us to live a good life, to live the life that he had promised us in the word of God. Glory to God. I don't know about you. I done got me happy. The apostle Paul focused on the day of victory. He did not focus on any of the days of his trouble. He focused on victory and he rejoiced because of the victory that Christ Jesus gave him. You know, when you're playing in a sporting event, you have to make it happen. If you're going to win, you make it happen. But I'm going to tell you what, we don't have to win the victory. Jesus already won it. He's already won the victory. You know, I want to tell you something. You know, I'm playing ball and we win. You know, the guy that's sitting over on the bench, he never got in a minute in the game. But he has just as much right to rejoice over the victory as me because I'm playing. Because he was out there on that field when we were practicing. He was running the other team's defense and offense so we could learn how to operate and win. Friend, no, you didn't go to the cross, but he did. But we have a right to enjoy the victory that he enjoyed. How do we do this? How do we rejoice in this day? By giving praise to God. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Our thanksgiving to God is an expression of our faith. When you're giving thanks to God for what he's done and thanking him, that's an expression of your faith. That day that started on that cross over 2,000 years ago now, and remember, to the Lord, a day is nothing. It's only 1,000 years, he said. It's never ended. That day is still in effect today. And it will be in effect until, as the angel said to those disciples outside of the city when Jesus was taken away, said, "Why stand you gazing? This same Jesus that you see going will come again." The day that he started on that cross will be in existence, and the effect of that will be, of that day, will be in existence until he comes again. I intend to rejoice. I intend to rejoice and be glad in that day. Today, the victory is yours. Rejoice. Today, salvation and healing is yours. Rejoice. Today, safety and provision is yours. Rejoice. Today, the promises of God are yours because of what that day. Rejoice. Today, the power of God is available to you. Rejoice. Today, your authority to use the name of Jesus is here today. Rejoice. Today is the day to rejoice. God ushered in a new day for us to live in when he died on that cross. Today is the day that the Lord made. Rejoice. And Paul said, and again I say, rejoice. Ah, hallelujah. We can release our faith by rejoicing and let the power of God penetrate our darkness, penetrate our situation, our circumstance, and raise us up to a new level. In my book, The Untapped Power of Praise, on page 73, I say this. Praise is the language of faith. Praise is the language of victory. Praise is the language of heaven. Praise is the language of believing God with your heart and confessing your faith in him with your mouth. Praise, in another way, would be say, is rejoicing. Jesus has come. Let's recap here a minute. Jesus has become our cornerstone, our foundation. He brought a new day with a new life. And he gave us a reason to rejoice and to be glad. So you have to decide whether you're going to rejoice and be glad or sit down and be sad. It's your choice. But as far as me and my house, as Joshua said, we choose to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Dan, are you here? I want us to stand. I want us to sing. And that song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. Hello. I want you to make a confession. Hey, on Christ the Solid Rock. I told you, see, that he became the rock. He, the builders rejected him. But he became our cornerstone. He became our rock. All right, let's sing, Dan.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust a sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground.
Hey, if you're out there watching in this building, I saw some of you. I want you to raise your hand. That's an expression. Lord, I surrender all to you. I'm standing on you. I'm standing on the rock. This is the day you made. This is the day I'm rejoicing. Let's sing that chorus one more time.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking
sand. On Christ.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
This is the day to stand on the rock. No matter what's going on around you, if you're on the rock, you can't go under. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As Craig was preaching the other day, I think he was talking about the little story with the three little pigs. Any of y'all remember him preaching that the other day? You know, they built this house on the sand and it blew away, and the wolf came, which would be Satan came. He huffed and puffed, blew it away. He built another house. But then they built a brick house, a rock house. And he couldn't do anything about it. That's what we're talking about. When you build your house, your spiritual house, your life on the rock, and rejoice every day, because Satan may huff and puff and he may blow and he may tell you all the things he's going to try to do to you. But you are going to come through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That reminds me of a song that Keith Moore used to sing, something about all the things he's going to try to do to you. What is that song? Yeah, God is big. That's it. Y'all know it. Come on, Anthony.
There is no God as big as mine. Too big of a problem you just can't find. Well, it makes no difference what the devil tries. There is no God as big as mine. There is no God as big as mine. Too big of a problem you just can't find. Well, it makes no difference what the devil. himself so proud, and he's telling you the things he wants to do to you. You just look him in the face, put the devil in his place. There is no God as big as mine. There is no God as big as mine. There is no God as big as mine.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you glad you come to church today? I was glad when they said, let us go into the house. Amen. Just a moment, bow your heads, please. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus, to rededicate their life to God. We're going to have to do it a little different today. But if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, in this crowd or watching out there, or if you know what it is to serve Him and you're sort of, you're just not where you're supposed to be, sort of lost your faith and you need to rededicate here or out watching, I want you to repeat this prayer after me, because the Word of God says that if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, that you would be saved. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. He went to the cross. He died. He rose again for my salvation. You said in your holy word that if I would believe that in my heart and confess that with my mouth, I would be saved. I believe in my heart. And you've heard me confess with my mouth. And I thank you now that I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. This is a new day for me. And I give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, if you happen to be watching online and you prayed that prayer whether the first time or in rededication, there on the screen you can see, you can go to partnerservice@rhema.org. And tell us about it. If you did it here, as you go out the door, tell one of the ushers about it as you go out to the door. Praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't He?